5E. Mr. Lobel, whenever you're ready.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, the State of California is seeking a de novo review of a contract. It signed in 2010 with the
Department of Justice. We understand everything that's going on in this case. Can I just ask you a sort of technical question? I think the government raised this in red brief, which is even if we would agree with you on the fringe benefit issue, that only seems to account for a chunk of the $300,000 that's in dispute here. So I don't think you responded in gray, like why, even if you're right on fringe benefits, that doesn't allow a reimbursement of $300,000. That's like $60,000, well, right?
That's not quite true.
Okay.
Because the $300,000 is dependent on a formula which is not based on the actual numbers. We pointed that out in our first response to their attempt to get the money. It's on page 133 of the appendix. And we detail why it's wrong. We didn't make a big point of it.
The two provisions in the contract that say you can use the state system deal with fringe benefits and overhead.
Excuse, I have my hearing aids.
I got my hearing aids too. The two provisions in the contract that deal with the state system,
right,
allowing the state system, deal with overhead and with fringe benefits.
Correct.
The provision for salaries, for salary compensation, is not given the benefit of the state system.
The salaries are direct.
So what I want to get at, my understanding of your argument is that the SAM formula uses accrual accounting.
Correct.
For things such as fringe benefits and overhead.
Correct.
When it does it for fringe benefits, using an accrual thing, it impacts the amount of compensation that the employees are entitled to.
No.
Because part of the fringe benefit are days off for holidays and that sort of thing.
Those are actual costs that the state now still owes the employees the money.
Sir, we got a problem here. My understanding is that for a period of time, the state used the SAM formula. And in the SAM formula, they were using it to look at the fringe benefits that these employees were entitled to and the overhead associated with their work.
Correct.
The SAM formula makes a magic computation that produces a compensation number, how much these people are entitled to.
Right.
Right. That's what you did for a long period of time. In an audit over one of the years, the government auditor said, whoops, wait a second. You're using accrual accounting. You're accruing costs at the beginning of the year that you think you'll have to pay out over the course of the year. Some you might not have to pay off. They might get carried over till the next year. But that they are real live liabilities that your client incurred. The auditor said, well, you can't use accrual accounting. You can only be reimbursed for actual cash outlays.
Correct.
So they did a formula. I dug them all up from below, all the charts. And the difference between the two is your numbers are based on accrued liabilities, and the government's numbers were based on actual cash out. And the government was saying, we want you to true up at the end of the year, meaning that you would look and see how much of the accrual you haven't actually paid yet, and you wouldn't bill for that. You would only bill for what you'd actually paid. The lower court in interpreting the contract, held that the contract requires expenditures to be actually expended. You actually must spend the money. You can't accrue the liability. That's what the court held below. And that's the government's theory.
Okay.
And so the question is, where in the contract or in the regulations is it unambiguously required that the reimbursements be cash as opposed to accrual? And your argument is it isn't there.
Well, no, my argument is we are entitled to use the SAM method, the accrual basis, because we negotiated for that. This contract is the result of a lot of very acrimonious negotiations between Interior.
Let me understand all that, sir. I mean, the short of the matter is that the contract says you get to use SAM
right
for fringe benefits and overhead.
Correct.
And your feeling is you get to use it for salaries too because the fringe benefit, huh?
No, we don't do it. We bill every month. We provide the Interior Department with the number of actual hours billed to that contract. Every year, that number was audited by the Interior Department.
I understand it was audited. Does it have accrual numbers in it, yes or no?
Only for fringe benefits, not for salaries.
So what is the dispute? Can I go back to where I started? What is the dispute for the additional 200,000 or whatever?
Well, it's 300,000.
Excluding fringe benefits, I get that. But I thought you had put a number on that amount, which was $63,000. So there's other money that's in dispute here that's outside of alleged overpayment for fringe benefits. It's alleged overpayment for salary and for ICR, right?
But that's wrong as a matter of fact. And that's why I referred you to the first response we made to this audit. We pointed out that the numbers they were using were not the actual billed numbers. They had those numbers. We give them to them every single month. They chose not to use them. They chose to use this formula that they devised to determine what the total amount was. Can I give you an analogy? We all know about LIFO and FIFO. LIFO, assume that California negotiated a contract allowing it to use LIFO. It was negotiated. But the OMB says you're supposed to use FIFO. Now, 5 years after you've entered into that contract, the Interior Department says, oh, we didn't know what we were doing for 5 years. The people who negotiated this didn't know. The people who audited it didn't know, but we now know that your results under our way of accounting is $2,000 or $2 million different than yours, so you have to use our number. That's not right. That's what they're doing here. They're saying if you use our accounting principles, which they developed, you owe us this money. But we used our accounting principles only for fringe benefits. The actual numbers are a matter of public record because we have to submit those monthly.
Okay, that goes to my question. And maybe it's just a stupid, inane question, and that's why you're not understanding it. But you said you used your accounting principles under your hypothetical for just fringe benefits.
Correct.
So tell me what the dispute is. So I understand that $63,000 was stuff that you think you're owed because you did it under your accounting system. What I just don't understand is what about the remainder of the money that you're seeking reimbursement for?
That's all for fringe benefits.
It's all, okay, because it was categorized as, it was broken down as fringe benefits, then salary, and then ICR. So I thought they were all different categories. Is that wrong? The entire $300,000 is entirely for fringe benefits?
Yes.
Okay. Do you understand where I got the confusion I'm getting? I thought
well,
there was a breakdown.
They confused the facts that they had for the theory that they tried to promulgate.
Okay, but your view is that your the entire amount in dispute is the non-overpayment of you all for this categorization of fringe benefits is whether
that's correct.
Okay.
All right, now, am I right, sir, that you are using accrual accounting under
yes.
the SAM formula?
Correct.
All right. Am I right in thinking that the government, both the auditors and the government and the Court of Federal Claims, say you can't use accrual accounting?
OMB recommends that you not use accrual accounting.
And they say you should only seek reimbursement for cash paid out.
Yes.
Okay. Let's assume, for purposes of argument, that the contract actually said that you can only reimburse for amounts paid out.
That would be different.
Now, that's the argument that the government is making.
Yes.
That's the argument that the Court of Federal Claims made.
Yes.
The Court of Federal Claims and the government say that the contract unambiguously requires only cash payments to be reimbursed. There are two places in the contract. You know, the two places in the contract where actual cash payout is referenced.
Right, and that's for salaries, and that's for, expenses. It is not for fringe benefits. We negotiated a separate deal for fringe benefits because we knew. We did that in 2010, and everybody knew we had done that. Everybody had gone along with it. The people who negotiated it went along with it, and the people who audited and accepted it went along with it. And all of a sudden now, someone comes along and says, oh, no, you're wrong. Like, you may have been allowed to use FIFO, but now we're saying you got to use LIFO because that's the way OMB says it. That's not giving you the benefit of the bargain that you sought. We did it deliberately. Why else would we enter into an agreement that allows us to do our method plus the OMB method? Suppose they conflict. LIFO and FIFO, conflict. They say we owe $2 million because we didn't use the proper method. They're both costs, real costs.
Okay. I know you've been asked questions, but you're into your rebuttal. So why don't we, you're into your rebuttal time. So why
don't
I'm
sorry. I will sit down.
Thank you.
May it please the court. The court should affirm the judgment of the Court of Federal Claims.
Ask a question. So my understanding is that the contract was interpreted by the Court of Federal Claims as allowing reimbursement only for actual cash out expenditures.
I believe the
asking that's what the court held.
The cost incurred, yes, our actual.
No,
cost.
It isn't cost, it's not incurred, it's actual cost paid.
I don't know what language of the opinion Your Honor is referring to.
The word actual.
I think the court used actual cost and cost incurred.
Right. So let me ask you that. Is a accrued cost in standard accounting, as to which there's no question that it was properly accrued, is it incurred?
If it wasn't, before I answer, I'll just say the parties didn't get into the accrual
Do
versus
you know
justice.
The answer in accounting terms?
The parties didn't. I want to be careful and not speak to something that the record doesn't speak to, and the parties didn't brief before this court or the court below. Ultimately, California had to actually pay out the cost, and whether that didn't.
So your case is that you will only reimburse for actual cost paid out.
Yes.
Okay, that's a yes.
Salary, for example.
Okay. So you have a cost for overhead that is written on the books, and it's done on accrual accounting. You understand what accrual accounting is?
I understand
is?
The difference. I'm obviously not very familiar.
And the SAM formula, the SAM formula allows accrual accounting for purposes of the overhead and the fringe benefits.
I don't know. We haven't.
I'm just telling you. Let's assume that's true.
Okay.
All right? So the SAM formula is going to allow a number for an expenditure on overhead or fringe benefits that's on a crude basis, right?
Okay.
The auditors refused to accept that number. The auditor said, no, it has to be a cash expenditure.
You're
right. You assert that the contract plus, by including 43 CFR 12 and the OMB circular, you assert that the contract unambiguously requires cash expenditures, actual expenditures.
Yes, actual.
Okay, show me where in the contract actual payments are required.
And when I use the word
actual payments,
I'm using it in the sense of costs incurred.
And that's not correct.
Okay, well that
just not correct because we already the data point said that an accrued cost is incurred under SAM.
Okay, well my references then to the cooperative agreement would be to all the references to.
Now just okay, take me in the contract. Incurred. Where does the word actual? How many times does the word actual appear in the contract?
I don't know if the word actual appear. I know cost incurred.
No, just excuse me. How many times does the word actual appear in the contract?
I don't know that.
Two.
Okay.
So you don't know where it appears.
I don't know where the word actual. The part is to focus on whether a cost has been incurred.
Right. Well, I'm telling you that a accrued cost is incurred, and assuming an accrued cost is incurred. The question is, what's the difference between that and an actual cost? The accountants here said the actual cost is what California actually paid out, not what it accrued as a liability that maybe it paid out, maybe it paid out in the next year. So you're telling me that the contract does, since you couldn't find the two places where actual shows up, I'll just tell you it doesn't help you.
That's maybe why we're looking at the applicable provisions.
So then I'll take you to your hook you're going to hang on for the contract unambiguously requiring cash expenditures, actual expenditures, would be 43 CFR or the OMB circular.
43 CFR and the language.
The contract doesn't help you.
Oh, the cost incurred language at section.
Cost incurred because an accrued cost is incurred.
Oh, Your Honor, we started talking about the overhead. The overhead rate is not
students. Just a second. I know that none of the calculations that they did in SAM are disputed. You have conceded that they faithfully applied SAM.
We haven't conceded they faithfully applied SAM.
It's just that SAM allows for reimbursement of non-paid costs, that is to say, for accrued costs.
Yeah, okay, but we haven't. You're referring to the audit that was done that led to this lawsuit. Well, okay, but we haven't conducted discovery in this case because the parties agreed that the agreement could be resolved on the plain language. So I wouldn't say we've conceded faithfully. We would conduct discovery.
Yeah, your point is that they can only recover for money they paid out of their pocket, not for expenditures they incurred.
For example, salaries.
And I'm asking you. Where does the contract say that?
I would refer you to the cost incurred language, which I understand you would tell me does not mean that. I would refer to 6.4 is the best.
The contract also says that fringe benefits, which we've heard are all of the amount in contest here, shall be allowed in accordance with the state's established accounting system. Now, why doesn't have that have at least equal dignity compared with the incurred provision? This is specific.
As an initial matter, by way of background, my understanding is that $300,000 is not just fringe benefits. I would refer the court to page 147 of the appendix, which is the audit report, and I think that's where the roughly $300,000 adds up. And I think the fringe benefits is a relatively small portion.
Why don't you answer his question?
Okay, but in terms of that section 6.5C, which states that fringe benefits shall be allowed, that section 6.5 goes to the allowability of costs and the understandings of costs. For example, there are terms that would be attached to a salary. It lays it out in there that, for example, you couldn't just come up with a new salary for, I think, under 6.5. You couldn't come up with some new salary just
for... Well, there's no argument they did.
No, we didn't argue.
There's no challenge here to...
So then on 6 point, on the fringe benefits.
The challenge here is that the number they're asking for includes money that wasn't actually paid out. It was accrued.
Yes, they didn't actually pay out all the fringe benefits.
Well, that's the whole case, right?
On the fringe benefit portion, yes.
But, not... but I mean, you haven't made an independent showing in your briefs that salary should be treated differently.
No, we think that all three overhead salary in
right. So the difference is between numbers that are built on accrual and numbers that are built on actual costs out. What does it mean when they say to true up at the end of the year?
I mean, if they actually sought and received more reimbursement than that was actually paid out by California.
And what basis would they have been seeking more than they actually paid out?
Because they came up with this loaded hourly rate that included fringe benefits and salaries.
And because of accrual accounting.
But these are not hourly employees.
Because of accrual accounting. So the state system produced a number that, as Judge Lurie pointed out, you don't disagree with. The contract says they can use the state system, they get the number. The counter to that in the Court of Federal Claims, and here, is that the contract unambiguously bars that and requires the cash to be paid out. And I'm asking you, where in the contract, when the contract uses the word actual costs in two places, but does not use it with regard to salaries, does not use it with regard to fringe benefit or overhead. So where do we get the notion that the contract requires actual? And then when I ask you where in your backup sources that you relied on heavily below and that the Court of Federal Claims relied on heavily below, where does 43 CFR 12A or the OMB circular require cash expenditures?
There's a couple questions. Can I?
Familiar with 12A?
I'm familiar with 12A, and it incorporates OMB Circular 8.
And you're familiar with them, and you know that both of them respect accrual accounting.
Yes.
Both of them treat accrued costs as incurred and allowable. Both of them.
Okay. But OMB Circular 87, I would point your honor to Attachment A, Section C. Including the section that says...
Wait, I've got it right here. What are we going to look at now? The OMB circular or...
Yes, Your Honor, OMB circular.
Okay. This helps. Cost means an amount determined on a cash, accrual, or other basis.
Yeah, Your Honor, the parties did not get into this accrual versus cash base and whether... accrual is allowed versus cash is allowed.
That was the basis on which the audit said you've overpaid.
Yeah, but the basis of our motion for summary judgment and the cross motion for summary judgment was whether these costs actually had to have been incurred or paid out.
Had to actually be paid.
Paid out, yes.
Paid out. And all I'm saying is, where does the contract say they have to be paid out?
And I would refer to Section 6.4B, which states...
Okay, just a second. You know it intimately when the time comes to talk about it. 6.4B says, will reimburse the state for approved costs incurred under this agreement in accordance with 12A. 12A respects accrual accounting. It says you can accrue a cost, it'll be allowable, and it's incurred.
I'm not arguing, and we've not argued that they cannot use accrual versus cash base. That has not been an issue.
If they can use it, and SAM is, and the reason why the SAM number is objectionable to you is because of accrual accounting, then where'd your case go?
I don't think the SAM number is objectionable because of accrual accounting. It's objectionable if someone makes $75,000 annual salary, and ultimately we're paying more. For them to do work on this contract, and they're doing 100% of the work on this cooperative agreement. We're paying them more than they actually pay their employees. We're paying them more for the salary. It's the most prominent example, and it makes up the greatest portion of the money.
But isn't that what SAM allows?
I think California's argument is that SAM allows them to bill private and public clients in the way that they did here. I think their point is, again, the parties didn't get to this, these factual issues because plaintiff agreed and then we agreed.
I mean, the debate is whether or not...
Whether the plain language.
Is whether or not the contract requires a cost to actually be paid, actually paid in order to be reimbursed. Yes or no?
I didn't catch the first part before I say yes.
Let's assume the contract does not require the expenditures to be actually paid out. They only require it to be incurred in an accounting sense.
Well, if it doesn't require that they actually...
paid out.
In our argument is in the court...
I don't know, but just assume that the contract said, you know, that your actual costs, the actual payment of cost does not include overhead, fringe benefits, and so
on. Your Honor, if that were the case, we would want to conduct a discovery into whether California complied with
it. Well, it's too late for that, no, because the case is being pitched as just interpreting the contract. And your whole case depends on me thinking the contract unambiguously requires all expenditures to be actually paid out.
Well, I don't think it's too late. To the extent the language was not clear and unambiguous, then we would look to externally, right?
If there's a conflict, not clear and unambiguous, but a conflict, then the specific clause will prevail over the general clause.
And
you can't point to a specific clause in OMB circular or in 12 CFR that say you have to use cost.
No. Yes, I'm not pointing to a specific provision that says you have to use cash versus accrual. But the OMB circular does cover guidelines for reimbursing costs, and that's including at Section C of Attachment A. Also, there's a compensation for personnel services, Section 8 at Attachment B. These are of the OMB circular.
None of them preclude accrued costs.
If Your Honor will indulge me, I can provide one citation here.
I don't think. I mean, I looked.
I don't think there's a preclusion of cash versus accrual, if that's the question. But for example, compensation for personnel services at Section 8 does not preclude accrual. Says it's defined as compensation for personnel services includes all remuneration paid currently or accrued for services rendered during the period of performance. At the end of the year, if California it charged us more than it actually paid its own employees,
that's what happens when you have an accrued cost. Just take for example in terms of their compensation, certain number of days they get off, they earn a certain number. It's like in the government, you earn a number of sick leave days and whatnot, right? And you get them.
Right.
Now the problem was that by the end of the year, the people that earned the sick leave hadn't taken it all. They hadn't said, pay me for my sick leave. But the government was being charged for the sick leave because the sick leave was an accrued cost under SAM.
Right?
And that's what the auditor said was the fly in the ointment.
Okay. And that was done before there was a lawsuit. That audit, this is not an administrative record review of the audit that was done.
I appreciate that, but we're trying to understand why it matters whether or not your interpretation of the contract as opposed to his governs. His is, I get to use SAM.
And this did not hinge on the trial court's decision and our briefs
court rejects his reimbursement request because the money wasn't actually paid out.
Right. But I don't think it was.
Right?
Yes, I think it was. Yeah, it wasn't actually paid out. But I don't think the trial court.
The question is, does the contract require the money to be paid out? Yes or no?
The contract, when I say pay out, you actually have to pay your employee $75,000. You can't charge us $100,000 for that employee.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
The Interior Department has admitted there's no question of fraud here, and this was the benefit of the bargain. The issue is whether, as Judge Clevenger pointed out, whether we are entitled to use the SAM method of accounting, and we did. There's no question we did. And in fact, if you look at the OMB guidance, which is not part of the record, but it's section 200.431, compensation for fringe benefits, it says, except as otherwise provided, the cost of fringe benefits are allowable provided the benefits are reasonable and required by law, non-federal entity employee agreement, or an established policy of a non-federal entity. If SAM isn't an established policy of a non-federal entity, I don't know what is. Thank you very much.
We thank both sides, and the case is submitted.